tonight. Come introduce your family to us and take the time of the service.
Thank you. Well, good evening. It's a blessing to be here at Tri-City Baptist Church. And we know some families, we know the Potter family, and so that's been a connection. Also, Pastor Tim, I met him a couple years ago as well, and it's been a blessing. We want to thank you very much for the accommodations and the food as well. We had a good time at lunch, and it's a blessing to be here. I want to introduce our family. I'll start out with my wife, Stephanie, if you'll stand up, and then we'll just go by age. Abby, she's 20. Caleb is 19. Daniel is 16. Anna is 11, but she wants me to say probably. She's going to be 12 really soon, July. And then we have Simeon, and he's 10. And we are missionaries to the country of Moldova. How many of you have no idea where the country of Moldova is? Let me see your hand. Good. I appreciate your honesty. When I first heard about Moldova, I had no idea what continent it was on, and I was actually planning on going on a mission trip to Moldova. And I was thinking, is it in South America, in Africa? I had no idea. And finally, I find out it's in Eastern Europe. So if you study geography when it just said the USSR or the Soviet Union, then you have no idea where Moldova is. Moldova is in Eastern Europe between Romania and Ukraine. Ukraine wraps around Moldova and borders us on the north, east, and south. And we've been missionaries in Moldova for 16 years. Moldova has actually been decreasing in population because it's the poorest European country. And so people have been moving out of the country and going to other countries in Europe. Moldova is trying to become part of the European Union, which may turn things around with people coming back, but we'll see what the Lord has in store for that. We are in the northern part of the country, right on the river that borders Moldova and Ukraine, in a city called Soroka. We have a church plant there in Soroka, and also a church plant that was handed over to us in the village of Bulboch, and then we have a group of people in the village of Visoka, and so we've got 3 points of ministry there in Moldova. We don't work alone. The Lord has blessed us with another couple, Jacob and Viola Hughes, and their slogan is, when you tie your shoes, pray for the Hughes. With my last name, all I could come up with is when you take the garbage out and you smell something disgusting, remember to pray for the Gross family. It might work. Some people have said it actually was a help. But we've been in the northern part of Moldova for now for about 12 years. And we've been very excited about what the Lord has been doing this last furlough or this last term in Moldova. Outside in the foyer, we have a table there where there are prayer cards, and we are doing something that we've never done before, and that our video that we're showing is actually mostly a trailer. So on the back here is a QR code where you can actually see what we'll be showing this evening in the church. But Lord willing, by about the middle of June, we hope to have the full documentary finished with testimonies from our family and from other people in Moldova about what God has been doing in writing his story and the lives of the people there. And it's not going to be a short little 15-minute thing. It's probably going to be about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. So when that comes out, you don't want to miss it. It'll be on YouTube, and using the link, you'll be able to find that. And you'll be able to hear a whole lot more about what God has been doing in Moldova these last 4 years. And the video will explain also some parts of what has gone on, and you'll get to meet some of the people that have taken our hearts, and we have the joy of serving over there in Moldova. Thank you.
After Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch from their first missionary journey, they gathered the church together and shared with them all that God had done and the doors that he had opened. Fast forward 2,000 years, we missionaries are still doing that. The only problem is that a 5-minute video cannot do justice to share with you all that God has done the last 4 years. The solution? Was to simply make the video longer. As a result, with God's help, we have put together a full-length documentary called His Story. Instead of hearing what we did with summer VBS weeks, women outreaches, preaching to the prison workers, and weekly church services, we want you to hear what God has done, which has surpassed anything we could have asked or thought. In the film, you will get to meet and hear from the people in Moldova, like the first Moldovans we baptized. A 78-year-old man who trusted Christ and was baptized, then his son and daughter-in-law trusted Christ after they saw the drastic change in his life. A believer's aunt who went from being one of her greatest opponents to becoming a fellow believer. A man who came back to Moldova after the war started in Ukraine and is seeking to know if God exists or not, and many others. You will also hear what the Lord has been doing in her own family's hearts and lives, adding to God's family and fine-tuning us to become more like Christ. If you would like to watch it, then scan the QR code on the back of our prayer card and gather your friends and family and see and hear God's answers to your prayers. Thank God for what He has done and pray for Him to continue working in these lives. Thank you for your prayers and support these past 4 years.
Bisericile în timpul sovietic au fost închise și ni se interzicea cât eram elevi să frecventăm biserica și la școală ne se spunea că Dumnezeu nu este și tot ce este scris în Biblie, asta e fals. Știa multe de la părinți, dar să studiez Biblia n-am studiat-o niciodată până am ajuns la biserica asta.
People do these traditions, they go paint the eggs, they go eat the lamb, and they don't even know why. They don't understand, like they don't have this awareness of, oh, this is glorifying God, this is God's birth, this is God's death, this is, it's just tradition without any soul into it, and that's kind of what held them back. That's what held me back.
Tata meu a fost comunist, nu prea ne ducem noi la biserică.
And so we went there, and I know it felt really uncomfortable, and just seeing the paleness of the person and just seeing the people crying, knowing that I didn't really know the person that well, but little that I know that I would be facing the same thing and that I would also need this comfort.
Well, I think Christianity has very, how to say it, strong principle and very great history, I think. And that's why it's very interesting. And I was talking with priests because it was very interesting. I went to church, starting to ask questions.
Yeah, I felt like I understood the gospel. Just there was tons of other religions. It's kind of hard to know which one's true. If there's a ton that you don't even know one, then that one might have been right, and then that. Keep on thinking, maybe there was another religion out there that was actually the true one.
So I went to talk to her, and she grabbed my hand and said, "Can y'all come talk to me about the gospel again?" And I said, "Well, why not accept Jesus now? You can get saved now." And so I made sure she understood, and so I asked her to pray to receive Christ. And that was exciting to me because that was the first Moldovan that I got to lead to the Lord.
La un moment dat, a fost întrebare de la pastor, de cât am fost pe tot la biserică, a fost întrebare de mă pocăiesc. Eu am primit cu plăcere că zic, da, eu vreau să mă pocăiesc, că eu sunt în vârstă și că mâine plec, mor, și nu cred că am să mai dovedesc, să mai stau de vorbă cu Dumnezeu, cu Iisus Hristos, care El, pentru păcatele noastre, l-a răstignit pe cruce.
One of the things I had asked him, I said, what is one thing that you regret in your life? And he says, I wish I came to the Lord earlier. I wish it was not this late that I came to know the Lord, that I came to know the true faith. And that just goes to show you that it's not a faith that he wants to benefit from, but the Lord really changed his heart.
Sunt multe lucruri care noi, care în familie la mine s-au schimbat. Și iar, nu e de chestie de bani, de probleme de astea, dar chestia că eu vreau să am o familie de pocăiți.
And then all of a sudden the door opens and in walks Ghana, Victor's son. He has a Bible in hand, he plops it down on the table and he says, I want to study the Bible too. It was something very unexpected, but God was at work.
So the language you heard that wasn't English in there is Romanian. That is the national language in Moldova. But because it was part of the Soviet Union, many people still speak Russian, which for a missionary makes things very interesting because that means that you at least need to know something of both languages. So we actually studied Romanian first when we got to Moldova and then started studying Russian. So I'm fluent in Romanian, but I'm only conversational in Russian. In Russian. So that's just something else you can be praying for, that I'll continue to progress with the Russian language. Fewer and fewer people, especially with the younger generation, are utilizing the Russian language, but I still run into people that I need to be able to use the Russian in order to share the gospel with them. So if you would be praying for that as well. Now, the ushers have some papers. They're going to be handing these out, and I'll explain what this is here as they're handing this out. So often when we talk about praying for missionaries, I think the most common prayer request that is given is, bless the missionaries. Have you ever heard that before, right? Bless the missionaries. And it's easy when you get a prayer letter from a missionary and you can see the specifics that they want prayed for, but it's another thing to get into details. And in a prayer letter, you do get those details, you can pray for those things, but sometimes you don't always have an up-to-date prayer letter from a missionary. And also I have on this paper here of how, not just how to pray for missionaries, but also how to pray for your pastors and their families as well. What my goal is in this evening is to give you all a tool, and we're going to go through this, and what I want to do is to help to open up your mind to see how to pray specifically for those that are in ministry, including missionaries and pastors. So that in the future, when you're having a personal time with the Lord and you're praying for your pastors, you're praying for your missionaries, it'll be more than simply bless the pastor or bless the missionary, but specific things to bring before the throne of God and expecting for him to answer these prayers. And also alongside of this, you'll see that there's scripture. One of my favorite things to do is to incorporate scripture in my prayers. Because when we do this, we know we're praying then according to his word, according to his will. And so I have some scripture next to this as we go through this. And with the time that we have, we may not be able to get through every single little thing on here, but I wanted to give a tool for you to have in your hand, and you can put it in your Bible or wherever it is that you are praying for other missionaries and praying for your pastors as well. I have this divided into three different sections here: individual, family, and then ministry. And it could have been divided different ways with this, but this is how I have it divided. And if you want to redo it at home and make a different order, feel free to do so. But I was thinking, what can I do to be an encouragement to churches and helping them to pray more specifically and to have a better, I'll say, an attack against enemy territory in the spiritual realm? The first in this is to be praying for the individual. Sometimes missionaries, they're not married, and so all you have is the individual. So this is where I'm starting out as well. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 16. The Bible says, I'll actually begin in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We see here that Paul ends up encouraging the people to be redeeming the time, buying it back, letting the time that they have be useful for the cause of Jesus Christ. In this world today, we have so many distractions, don't we? How many times do people have a telephone in their hand? How much time is spent in front of a television? How much time is spent on other entertainment and extracurricular activities? One of the things to be praying for those in ministry is for them to use their time wisely. Incorporated in this is that they wouldn't get distracted with the things that are out there with social media and other entertainment, that they would actually spend the time on the work of the ministry. But also, people in ministry are often faced with decisions on whether to help somebody or not. And we need wisdom on knowing whether to use that time to invest in that person or whether it would not be God's will for us to spend the time doing that particular activity. For example, in Moldova, many people don't have cars. In fact, in those that come to our services, very few actually have a vehicle. So we get calls, could you help pick this up from the construction store? Could you take me to the doctor appointment? Could you? And so we get requests from other people, some in the church, some not in the church, for help. And we need to have wisdom on knowing when we should do that and when not to. So pray for them to use their time wisely and based upon God's word. The other thing here is to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Paul mentions this in Colossians 1:9, but look down in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. He says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ministry is a lot of brain work. Sometimes it's physical work too, but a lot of it is having to make decisions. And we need to be filled with the knowledge of what God's will is in particular situations. One of Satan's greatest goals is for us to not do the Lord's will. And so pray for your pastors, pray for the missionaries that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The fact that Paul ends up mentioning this in two of his epistles tells me this is something worth praying for. The next one is to walk humbly and closely with the Lord. In Colossians 1, verse number 10, he mentions this. If you turn a few pages over to the right, in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, he says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. To walk humbly and closely with the Lord. I wish I could say that, all the missionaries that are around the world, they're humble folks and they have a close walk with the Lord. But unfortunately, through my own experiences throughout the years, I've seen that this is not always the case. There are missionaries that end up having conflicts with others because of pride, and they end up destroying ministries and people's family and their own family because of this. There are missionaries that end up falling into sin. Why? Because they didn't have a close walk with the Lord. They got away from the Lord. I heard a crazy statistics about either it was either pastors or missionaries or just people in ministry in general, that the average amount of time that they spend in prayer a day is like 10 minutes. This is frightening. Pray that the missionaries, when you pray for them, pray that they would continue to have a close walk with the Lord. And if it isn't a close walk right now, that would change and that they would end up gaining a close walk with the Lord. What is included in this? And I have a couple things here. Pray that they will confess their sin. When we don't confess our sin, we continue to build a wedge in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This needs to be confessed regularly. And pray that they will do that. We as missionaries sometimes get put on a pedestal, but I tell you, we are humans, okay? We are people just like you. We're serving the Lord in another location. But pray that we will confess our sin regularly. Pray that we will have an extended time in praise and thanksgiving to God. I don't have the time to go into the testimony of this, but someone who had mentored my wife and I for 3 years in the past had a great impact in our lives, in specifically in this area of extending our personal time with the Lord in the mornings. And specifically in the area of learning to praise the Lord and to give Him thanks and to spend time doing that in a not rushed situation. And pray for the missionaries and the pastors to do that. It's so easy when the problems of ministries and problems and issues that we face when we're investing our lives into the other people, it's easy for us to end up looking at the negatives and the things that aren't right and to forget to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for who He is and what He has done and is doing. And so pray that they would do that. 1 Peter 5:7 says we're supposed to cast all our care upon the Lord. If you talk to anyone in ministry, they would probably say that life gets stressful. The ministry gets stressful. Paul says that he carries the burdens of the other people that he's ministering to. And this is just part, it comes with the territory. But it's important for us in ministry to make sure that we are not leaving those on our shoulders, but that we are casting those on the shoulders of the Lord. Otherwise, we get burdened down, we get stressed out, and then this leads to other problems. Pray that the missionary would be meditating on God's word. You know, Joshua 1, 8, 9, and Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about us renewing our mind, transforming our mind. And this comes through the word of God. In Joshua 1, 8, 9, he talks about meditating on the word of God, the law of God, day and night. And this is what's going to result in good success. So pray that those in ministry would be meditating, not just reading, but meditating on the word of God. Also pray that he would not become discouraged or fearful or depressed, but to hope in God. And we read about this in Colossians 1:11, being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened. He mentions two things here, patience, and he mentions long-suffering. I used to think they were just synonyms, but in studying these two words in the past, I found out patience deals more with the circumstances. Long-suffering deals with the people. And we need to have both of those. And pray for those in ministry that they would have that patience to remain under those difficulties and to depend upon the Lord, but also to have long-suffering with other people as well. Pray that they would make wise decisions with their own body, with diet, exercise, medical. And you can read 1 Corinthians 6:20 there, talks about that our not just our spirit, but our bodies also belong to the Lord. And so pray that we'd be wise with that. Well, what could that entail? Well, I mentioned about the diet and exercise, but it also includes knowing when to go to the doctor or not. Sometimes like, well, I'm just too busy. I've got all these other things going on with ministry. I don't know if I have time to go, like in our case, all the way down to the capital city to get good medical care. That's 2.5 hours away from us. And so sometimes we need wisdom to know whether to pull the trigger or not to go see the doctor. So pray that the missionary would make the right decision on that. Pray that he would use his finances wisely. Jesus says he who is faithful in the little things gets entrusted with more of the things. And Jesus also gave many examples, and he gave here in Luke 16 about the importance of using what we have wisely. Pray that he will put on the full armor of God. A couple years ago, I was really in a time of discouragement and ended up going on a spiritual retreat and just spent a few days away with the Lord. And this is the area that the Lord ended up revealing to me that I was failing in. I was not holding up the shield of faith. I had all these doubts. I had all these fears. And what I needed to do was to put on the full armor of God. Pray that your pastors, that your missionaries, that daily, that they would put on the armor of God. That's the individual. And please understand this. You don't have to just use this list for those that are in ministry. You can pray for your spouse with these things. You can pray for your children about these things. You can pray for other people within this church with this list. Down here also I have family. Pray that the marriage would stay strong, that they would flee temptation. A lot of missionaries, when they get to the field, the reality is when you're in another culture, you're faced with another language, it's different. And some problems that may have been small in their marriage previously, when they get put into the hot water of another culture, all of a sudden that just seeps out and becomes a bigger problem. So pray that the missionaries, that their marriage would stay strong. Unfortunately, we know too many missionary families that are no longer, I'm not just saying they're not on the field, they're not on the field and they're not even married anymore. Satan knows where to attack. And anyone is vulnerable to these things. So pray that God would keep their marriage strong. I forgot to bring our prayer box that we use for our family devotions. When we get the documentary finished, you'll get to see that in it. But every day of the week, Monday through Saturday, we have a different category, a tab in our prayer box that we pray for. And we have a tab where we are praying for other missionaries. We have also a tab where we pray for all of our supporting churches as well. In the past, we weren't praying for our supporting churches regularly, and so this got added in it to where we are now praying for all of our supporting churches regularly. And one of the things that we pray for the pastors of our supporting churches and for the other missionaries is that their marriage would stay strong, that the husband and wife would stay walking with the Lord and close to each other. Pray for wisdom as parents. Amen? Does anyone else agree that we need wisdom as parents? And this is something really important. Those that are in ministry, they're parents as well if they have children. And they need wisdom from God in order to raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A lot of times those that are on the mission field, they don't have the grandparents there. They don't have a whole lot of other people to be that positive spiritual influence in their children's lives that maybe someone that's in a larger church would or established work would have. So pray for the children as well, that the parents would have wisdom with them and know how to deal with different situations that come up with their children. Pray for contentment. And I put in parentheses in here, this is extremely important, for the wife. I remember one missionary telling me that there was a missionary couple that showed up on the field in Moldova, and they weren't there for very long. And the reason why was the husband said, they don't have Twinkies. That's not the only reason with things, but this is one of the things that was really hard for the missionary. There are certain things I can't get here in Moldova that was back in America. Now, this is, 20-some years ago. But my point is that contentment is a very important thing. We deal with things that are unlike what we usually face here in America with the government and other things. We need contentment. And there's a lot of differences that come about with the culture. Pray that we would have contentment. Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. He also learned in whatever state he is, there would to be content. Pray for contentment for your missionaries. Pray for open and healthy communication. Very important. Pray that the family would not be neglected due to ministry. There in John chapter 19, one of the most amazing things happens. While Jesus is suffering on the cross, in the midst of his own agony, in the midst of actually giving the payment, the atonement for the sins of all people of all time, his mother is down there and he ends up taking care of her. He did not neglect his own family. He did not neglect his own mother. And he says to John, behold your mother. And he said to his mother, behold your son. And it says from that day, John ended up taking care of Mary. It's important for us to take care of our family. With ministry, there's a lot of demands. And this goes back to being filled with the knowledge of God's will and having wisdom. Pray also for physical safety during work and travel. These are some things that Paul even prayed about, and I have some scripture there. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 3:2 just to see one of these examples. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Paul says this, and he says, I'll read verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. He's praying and saying, would you please pray for us for safety as we travel, as we minister. And the roads in other places. Next door to Moldova is Romania. I cringe whenever we have to cross the border and we go over to Romania sometimes for a visit. And over there in Romania, it's crazy driving. Moldova's not the best, but Romania is even worse. And so there's driving. There's a lot of other things that come about that we would appreciate prayers for safety. Financial needs. Now here's an interesting thing. I'll put the seed of thought in your mind as well, something to pray for missionaries. Don't just pray for them and their financial needs. Pray for their supporting churches as well. Pray that the Lord would give their supporting churches a heart of unity, that there wouldn't be division, that they would be dedicated to following the Lord and doing their part in reaching people here on the home field. So pray for their financial needs as well. Pray for them to be an example to others of a godly home. It's easy to say what it says in Scripture. It's another to live it out. So pray that the missionaries, pray that they would live that out in their home and that their family would be an example to others. Pray that there would be continued progress with mastering the languages. Oh, turn to Acts 22. I love this, this part in Acts. Acts chapter 22, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. So Paul is back in Jerusalem. He gets mobbed there in the temple. And then the Roman soldiers come. They grab him. They're about to take him up the steps and take him into the fortress of Antonio. And then in verse number 1, he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And then we have these wonderful words in the parentheses. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. One of the most important people in Moldova was my language teacher. To be complicated, or to be a compliment, not complicated, to be complex, I can't even speak English, to be complimented by other people on the Romanian, I give glory to God because he ended up working it out for us to have an amazing Romanian teacher. But understand this, when they hear a foreigner who's speaking their tongue and they understand it and it is spoken well, even if it has an accent, it gets their attention. Because Moldova was part of the Soviet Union, there's many people there that are older and they still don't know how to say hello in Romanian or else they refuse to do so. And so I hear almost on a weekly basis, they said, look, here's an American who came over to our country and we have people that have lived here all their lives and they have not learned the national language. Pray that the missionaries and the wives and the children would learn the language well and not just, okay, they can get by with it, but they would continue to progress with the language. Residence permits. Pray that when it comes time to have to renew their visas or the residence permits, that they would have grace in the eyes of the government, that their lawyer, whoever they have doing that, would do well and would not make mistakes and would stay on top of things. It's a lot of headache. A lot of missionaries, when it comes to that time, we put that in our prayer letter. Pray for us that we'd be able to get our residencies renewed. Over in Moldova, it's constantly changing with the rules. Abby and Caleb, once they turned 18, we had to get their own separate residence permits. They were no longer just underneath the umbrella of my wife's residence permit. And they changed rules. And so we had rush episodes of trying to get their FBI background check with an apostille on it from the States and then get it shipped over to Moldova to be able to take it into their immigration office. And it was really, really difficult because you get it done too early, then it expires. You get it done too late, then it doesn't get there in time. And it's a headache. It is an added stress when it comes time to have to renew residencies. Pray for the missionaries with that. On the other side of the paper, pray for them to be refreshed by other believers and by times of rest. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul ends up talking about someone who is very, very special to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 16, he says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that I may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Here we have a man that we don't have a whole lot of details about, but why did he make it into the scriptures for us to read now, almost 2,000 years later? Because he was a refreshment to the Apostle Paul. Missionaries get often very few visitors. But I tell you, when we do get a visitor, whether it be family or someone from a supporting church, it is an encouragement. It is, as Proverbs says, it is as cold water on a hot day. It is so refreshing. Pray that missionaries would have that time. To have a time where they can also have a time away from ministry and just have some time to clear their mind, to be able to look at things the way that they need to with ministry, to have a special time with the Lord. Pray for those times. Pray for their children. I wanted to go to Moldova. It was my dream to go to Moldova. I love Moldova. My wife loves me, so therefore she's in Moldova. And she also said that she will follow me wherever we go. And so she had somewhat of a choice in that. But who did not have any choice at all in going to Moldova were my children. And for every missionary family, that is what those children are faced with. They did not choose to go to Moldova, but they grew up there. And for them, that's what they count as home. But you pray for those children. I know with my kids, they have very, very few friends. Because of their faith, a big one. The kids in our neighborhood, when we first moved into our house up north, the Orthodox priest, after we had kind of gotten there, they started getting some friends. The Orthodox priest ended up telling the parents, "Do not let your kids play with those American kids. They're of a different faith." It's lonely, especially for them. Thankfully, today there's the internet, and so I know for my children, being able to, for example, with the Potters, I say children, but they're young adults, most of them, but being able to communicate with them and others has meant so much to them. So parents, if you have young people here, I would encourage you, have them get in touch with another missionary family that has kids close to their age and have some correspondence with them. You have no idea how much that means to those missionary kids. It means a whole lot. Pray for the children, for their salvation, for their spiritual growth, for protection against bitterness towards God and ministry. I want to protect my kids in a way to where they don't have a bitter heart towards ministry. But there are some times where things happen and they know about it. It's very important for that. Pray for them to be secure in their identity in Christ. My son told me in the teens, the lesson this morning was about that topic, about the identity in Christ. That is so important. My daughter right now, Abby, she's staying in America and will start her job there at the end of July. It's so important for her to know her identity is in Christ. And she and I have talked about that. Why? Because she's been an MK for her whole life practically. But now she's not an MK. She's going to be someone here in the States. I think she still is an MK. She always will be an MK. But that identity of being there on the foreign field is not there anymore. And so it is important for her to really grasp on the fact that I'm a daughter of Jesus, of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter where that is, that identity stays the same. Pray for them to be secure in their identity in Christ. Pray for them to find good friends. Pray for them to know God's will for their future, to see God's working in answers to prayer. I don't want my kids to just hear about God. I want them to see God alive and working today and seeing other people's lives change, and seeing them have answers to prayer. And they've seen that. There was a time we were, our last furlough, after we got back to, because of the war in Ukraine, our furlough flight had to get all changed. The airport in Chisinau closed because we're surrounded by Ukraine on the north, east, and south, and the airport closed. The expectation is for the Russian army to come over into Moldova as well because we have a Russian-controlled section over in the east. Moldova's only the size of the state of Maryland. It's not big at all. And when this all happened, the airport closed, but we had already had tickets for furlough just after a few months. So our friends in Romania said, well, why don't you come over here and you can leave your van and fly out from here and get your tickets changed and stuff. So that's what we did. And they said, when you come and when your furlough ends, then get in your car and drive back to Moldova. So we were in Romania in the serpentine belt on our car just completely goes to shreds and it just stops in the middle of one of the largest cities in Romania. And there we are, but where it happened, parking is a nightmare in that city. The only places you can find where there's actual free parking is pretty much two grocery stores. And it happened to break down right at the light in front of one of those. That was a huge blessing. We didn't pray for that. That was just God's mercy. So without power steering, I get into the parking lot and park there. And so I'm going through all the different numbers I can find to call a taxi for my family to be able to get back to the apartment. We had bought some groceries, and so there were some things to carry. And I called every single one, and none of them had any availabilities. So I said, all right, guys, let's pray. So there we're in the parking lot, and we're praying. And I kid you not, as soon as we said amen, some guy came over to the trash can next to us in the parking lot and was throwing something away. So, okay, it was a cigarette. But so he's walking away to the corner, and I'm following him, and here I look up in the far corner of the parking lot was his car. It was a taxi. So we walk over there, and we ask, are you available? He says, yeah. And so the Lord provided the taxi. We've seen multiple times where God specifically answers prayer, and our kids need to see that. Pray for the missionary kids that they would see God answer prayer. Pray for them to overcome temptations, bitterness, sexual sins, worldliness, depression, suicide. These are all things that can go through the lives of MKs. Pray for them. Pray for ministry as well. We'll run through these real quickly. Pray that they'd have boldness, that they'd have boldness for the believers to share the gospel. That it wouldn't just be the missionaries, but then the nationals then have boldness to share the gospel as well. In the video, the older man, Victor, he has a great boldness, and he is sharing the gospel and sharing about the word of God to the people in his village. We are hearing of others doing the same. Pray that more and more of the nationals would have that boldness. Pray for the believers to take the next step. When we began the actual trailer part, the first woman who was speaking there, Maria, she's now saved, and she needs to take the next step in baptism. Pray that she would do that. She says she wants to, but pray that she would follow through with it this summer while we're gone. Not just her, but there's others. You have Victor, the older man, his son, Ganna, he was the bald man there at the end. Not me, but the one before me. And he's his wife got saved, and prayed that she would take the step of baptism. And there's also another lady, Luba. She was not in the video, but pray for her to take that step as well. Pray that people would take the next step. There's a younger family, Gennadia and Carolina and their daughter Samira, and they've been coming to services. And I'm praying that they would get saved. We've been going through the gospel. Others have been going through the gospel with them, that they would get saved and they would take that next step as well. Pray for specifically for individuals that the missionary has mentioned. Oh, this is a big one. Pray for leadership in the church. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is the great need and lack that so many of us have. We need male leadership. We need men that would be qualified to train as pastors, to take over the work. Pray for male leadership in these churches. Pray for the church to have a good testimony. Pray for them to to guard against false teachers and teaching. We're facing that right now. Please pray for my coworker, Jacob. He's dealing with a situation where we have someone who's teaching false teaching right now, and we're having to deal with that. It's a complicated situation, but pray for that. Pray for unity in the church. You know what I found? It doesn't matter how many people are in the church, you can still end up having disunity. But pray for unity, even if it is a small work. Pray for good relationships with any team members or other missionaries who work together. It's interesting, if you read surveys, what are some of the top reasons why missionaries come off the field? This is one that makes the top three. Interpersonal relationships. So pray if they do, if you read a prayer letter and you read that they work with another couple or other people, pray for unity amongst that team. We know what happened even between Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 15, where they end up splitting. Also want to mention this, pray for more laborers. Pray for more laborers. I was encouraged to hear that there are young men and men that seem to be going towards ministry and taking those steps and training for ministry. And I am so thrilled to hear that. Pray for your pastors as they continue to lead and guide those young men. And pray for more. Pray for more laborers. How many prayer requests did Jesus actually give? Well, one of them we know for sure is pray for more laborers. And we need that. We need that in Moldova, and I think every single country where there's a missionary, they say, we need more laborers. We know so many where they're of age, they're older now, and they need someone to come in and take their place. Pray that their labor would not be in vain. We know that we will reap if we faint not. And pray that we would continue on with this. My challenge to you is to pray more than simply bless the missionary. Pray specifically. Yes, the things that are mentioned in the prayer letter, but there's things that don't go in the prayer letter. They're between the lines. There are things that aren't even mentioned. And a lot of it is right on this list. So you can help cover those things that maybe they don't feel comfortable putting in a prayer letter. But you can address those things if you'll pray for these things on this list. Young people, you don't have to be an adult to pray for missionaries. Pray for them even at your age. You can have a role in that. Even if you just take up, you know what, I'm going to pray for these MKs and get in touch with them. Contact them. Write them. It'll mean the world to them. And pray for your own pastors too. They're a team. They've been called by God, but they're humans as well. You lift them up. You fight alongside of them with the battles and temptations and struggles and difficulties that they face as well.
May God have his hand of blessing on this church and this ministry, not just through the finances and you handing out tracts, but in this area of prayer as well. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time this evening. We didn't do an expositional message. I love expositional preaching. But Lord, I wanted to give them something practical in this, of things that I look back on and really appreciate when people prayed for these things. So Father, I pray that you would give people a desire to pray very specifically and that they would see specific answers to these prayers. Would you have your hand of a protection on this church? Give them unity. Give the pastors wisdom as they lead this congregation, as it continues to grow. Would you guard them against the temptations that are so readily available in this world? I pray that you would receive the honor and the glory for all this all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll have my ushers come if you would. We're going to take an offering tonight. And of course, our offering will go in its entirety to be a blessing to the Gross family. If you have something designated, it'll get to the right place. And certainly, you know how that works. But we want to be a blessing to them. We're going to take care of the travel expense. But they're going to incur some other expenses. And, you know, when missionaries go on a furlough, they still have to pay their bills. And they, of course, have support. Then they run into all the extra expense of traveling. And some places they go, they probably just introduce themselves. And in some places can be a blessing to them, maybe a little more so. So I hope we can do that tonight. But if God burdens your heart, I trust you'll give and be obedient, and I believe we'll take good care of them. So as we prepare for that offering, I'm going to ask John Brewer if he would to pray for us.
Father, thank you again for the privilege to be here this evening, and certainly thank you for the encouragement that we've had through the missionary and their family and the ministry that you've given to him. Thank you for these reminders of how we can be more effective, we can be more impactful, more help, more service to them in these specific ways in which we can pray. So help us to keep that sheet handy, to review that, and to be focused on our time of prayer for them. Again, we pray for the offering now. I ask you to take it, use it, multiply it for their work. In Jesus' name, amen.